but in my closing hymn. We will sing it again. Instead of Zebulun, that they dwelled with the sea, and they were a haven for ships. Spanish Wells dwells by the sea, and has been a real joy for us to drop our anchor here for the past month. And we're sorry also to leave. So once more, we've added another lovely chapter to the many that we have had over the years in coming to this lovely place, Spanish Wells. Yes, my wife, Peggy, and Junia, and the children will leave tomorrow in the will of the Lord, and I'd like to thank you on behalf of them and me for all your kindness and rich fellowship. It's just been absolutely overwhelming. A week tonight, I start a gospel effort in Long Island, New York, and I would ask your prayers that God will bless to the salvation of precious souls. Shall we turn, please, to two scriptures? The first in the book of Job. Chapter 36:3-6. And reading verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The second scripture in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and reading verse 51:5-1. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. God will bless again these readings from his precious word. The other day, traveling in Freddie and Lucy's ship, the yacht, the last chance, this verse came before me sitting in the stern of the yacht. And so tonight we want to look with you to two things. The last chance and the last trump. The last chance and the last trump. There are four solemn things in this verse in Job 36. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Four solemn things. Number one, the certainty. Number two, the caution. Number three, the calamity. And number four, the climax. The certainty. Because there is wrath. Be assured, friend, that God, who is a God of love, is also a God that can display his wrath. When Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, God was angry, and God cast him out of the Garden of Eden. He was angry. We also find that God was angry with those in the days of Noah. Noah preached his heart out for 120 years. But there was a disinterest in the message, a disrespect for the messenger, and there was a diabolical display of evil. Inasmuch as God repented that he ever made man, God says, Noah, this is it. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. And eight souls escaped. And all those that rejected God's message in the gospel perished. God was angry with those that rejected his word. Sodom and Gomorrah, God was angry. God sent the fire, and all perished, except those that responded to the message to flee. God was angry with those in Sodom and Gomorrah. God was angry with Israel when they worshipped the golden calf. They turned upon God who was so kind to them, delivered them from Egypt, fed them with manna, gave them water, and they worshipped the golden calf. And God was angry. He came in judgment, and Jude says much people died. God was angry. One day God was so infuriated against the Assyrian army, he sent one angel. One angel destroyed 185,000 men. One angel, 185,000 men perished because God was angry. Yes, God reminds us that he must deal with S-I-N sin. God's wrath, my friend, will reach an awful dimension in a day not far distant. This world is fast heading for judgment. And we find the people in the book of the Revelation, chapter 6, and they cry on the mountains and on the caves to fall on them and to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne and of the Lamb. For the day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We find all kinds of people there, kings, great men, mighty men, free men, born men, all crying to hide from him who sits upon the throne. Yes, the Bible says there is wrath. But judgment is God's strange word. He willeth not the death of any. And so we go from the certainty to the caution. God says, beware, beware. And it's love that warns. Our beloved Savior, when he passed through this world, he was constantly reminding them that there would be judgment to come. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, the Lord Jesus was faithful, and his love that warmed. John the Baptist, he warned the people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He warned them. And the apostle Paul on Mars Hill, he also told them to beware. There amongst the seat of learning and learners, he demanded all men to repent. For it is God hath appointed the day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus. His love that warns. And for 33 years the Lord Jesus lived on this planet earth, and he was constantly warning people of the coming judgment. It's love that warns. Oh, we love to speak about God as a God of love. His love, my friend, is absolutely incomparable. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. A fair adventure for a good man, some would even dare to die, but God commended his love toward us
Ain't that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? His love that warned. And oh, how rich to look at the pleadings of the Savior. There he was on the Mount of Olives, looking over that city where God had placed his name. And he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not. His love is incomparable. Oh, we revel in those words. Like shoreless seas, thy love it knows no bounds. Thou lovest me. Deep, vast, unfathomed, Lord profound. Lord, I love thee. When my crown is at thy feet, I'll praise thee still, for Calvary's merciful. We are here tonight because of the love of God, to permit one more day of sovereign grace whereby sinners might be saved. Zephaniah says, God who is in the midst of thee is mighty. He will say, he will rest in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God has done everything possible to save your soul from going down to hell. He can rest in his love. He has done everything. The caution, beware. Tonight, friend, let me again endorse the word of God to you, to me. Beware. The calamity, lest he take thee away. Oh, I was thinking of those that got the last chance. Here was Cain, raised in a Christian home like many of you young folks. He saw his father and his mother clothed with skin. The blood had been shed, and God had accepted Adam on the principle of the shed blood of that animal. His brother Abel responded to the love of God, and he brought his little sacrifice, and he offered it to God with a fat thereof. He got a preview of the Lord Jesus. But Cain, the other brother, raised in a Christian home, got his last chance. He was angry with God because he accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected his. Because you see, it was a bloodless sacrifice and you cannot be saved unless by blood. And he was angry with God. But God kept after him. He gave him the last chance. He says, Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? There's a sin offering lying at your door. You come my way, and I'll accept you like your brother. And the anger intensified, and he slew his brother. Went out a fugitive and a vagabond with a mark on his forehead. And tonight he's in hell. He got a last chance. Woe. Jude says, woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain. He got his last chance. And he went to hell. You remember the man called Abner. Abner was responsible for the unpremeditated murder of a man called Asael. And his brother Joab never forgot the death of Asael. So God set up six cities, three on either side of the River Jordan, called cities of refuge. And anyone responsible for unpremeditated murder, they could take refuge in one of these six cities. And Abner sets off for Hebron. And he was just outside the gate. He was almost there. And Joab is lurking in the shadows of the gate. Abner, this is your old friend Joab. And Abner went to have a conversation with Joab. And he plunged a knife into his heart and he died. He got his last chance, one more step, and he would have been saved in that city of Hebron. But he lost it. One step. Tonight, friend, you can take that one step and be saved. But if you stay with us, God says beware. And as his remains were placed into the earth, David lamented, died Abner as a fool dieth. So Abner was no fool, he was a general in the army. But he died as a fool. How does a fool die? Outside the city of refuge. One step and he would have been saved. It was his last chance. You remember, Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah. God in his love and in his faithfulness sent down two angels to talk to them. And the language of the angels to Lot was, flee for thy life. Beware. Flee for thy life. On the hill was Abraham praying out his heart. If the unsaved in this island could hear the prayers of the brethren and the sisters next door, they would have a different concept of Christianity. Abraham's prayer. He says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, would you spare Sodom? Then 40, and finally down to 10. And Abraham got to 10 and God withdrew. You see, there were 10 souls in Sodom that could have been saved. Lot and his wife. He had two daughters in that city. And Lot came to the two sons-in-law with a message. Up and go. And they appeared as to him as one that mocked. One chance, last chance for the relatives of Lot in Sodom. But they ignored the warning. The last chance. And finally the angels in desperation took a hold of Lot and his two girls and his wife. Oh, you can almost visualize the picture. One angel with two girls and the other angel with the hand of Lot and with his wife. And out they go. But she turned back. She got a last chance. And so the Lord says, remember Lot's wife. The most prayed for woman in all the Bible. She went to hell. The last chance. Lost. Some years ago, We were having meetings in the state of Michigan. We were asked to go and visit a gentleman who was dying with cancer. His wife, a lovely Christian, she appealed to my colleague and I to go and visit her. We went to the hospital. He said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Well, we said we're not leaving until we read and pray. And he was infuriated. And we left. The next day we were compelled by the Holy Spirit to go back to him, to give him one more last chance. And as we went into his room in the hospital, oh, he was angry. He said, I told you yesterday I'm not interested. I'm getting out of here and I'm going to live it up. My colleague said, Larry, you're going nowhere. The smell of death is already on you. You have to be faithful to those who are in desperate need. We're not leaving until we read and pray. And as my colleague was praying, I took a quick look. That man's face was absolutely unbelievable with hatred. He says, clear out. We wept. And out we went. 6 hours later, he died. She asked us to take his funeral. What could you say? A man that had another chance, his last chance. We had the service. That dear widow put her arms round her husband in the casket and she wailed. Oh, Larry, it's too late now. It's too late now. His last chance. And he rejected God's offer of salvation. Beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. Meetings in Iowa, the state of Iowa. A young lad was asked to attend the meetings, a teenager. Said to his mum, if the Lord gives me 5 minutes, 5 minutes before I die, I'll give it some thought. She was heartbroken. He got off on his motorbike, going round a curve, he lost control, hit a tree, and was killed. The coroner and the doctor came to her door, knocked at the door, ma'am, I'm sorry, your boy is dead. She was absolutely shocked. Your boy's dead? Oh, they expressed their sorrow and left. The doctor came back a few minutes later. He says, Mom, if it's any consolation to you, he never knew what hit him. If he'd taken a knife and plunged it into the heart of that mother, he couldn't have done more damage. He never got the 5 minutes to consider his eternal destiny. His last chance. God. Tonight, friend, this might be your last chance. And where will you spend eternity? The Lord Jesus, as he hung up on the cross, on either side were 2 men, and they got the last chance. They were thieves, they were murderers, and they were blasphemers. They both blasphemed the name of Jesus. There, as he hung upon the cross in agonies and blood, he still was in complete control. One thief said to him, "If thou be the Son of God." You see, he doubted the divinity of the man on the central cross. "If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us." The other said to his friend, "Dost thou not fear God?" This was their last chance. "Dost thou not fear God? See, we're in the same condemnation, we indeed justly, but this man has done nothing of this." And he turned to the only man that could help him. It was his last chance. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The Lord didn't dig up his past. The moment he says, "Lord," every sin was forgotten and forgiven. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." He put into motion Romans 10 and 9. He says, "Lord." That's what the Lord wants from you tonight. "Lord." He didn't look like a king. Every bone of his body was out of joint. Foul, filthy spittle of man mingled with the hair of his beard. His back like a plowed field, he didn't look like a king. That thief knew that the man on the center cross would rise again. "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Not only that he would rise again, but that he would sit on the throne, His Majesty the King. The Lord said to him today, he got his last chance. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And you know what the scripture says? "And it was about the sixth hour." That was the hour the Lord Jesus went into the pit. "But he rendered him powerless through the power of death," that is the devil. So friend, his last chance was perhaps 1 minute. Thank God he took the right course and he came to Jesus. For these two men, it was the last chance. One went to hell. The other went to heaven. Beware lest he take you away with a stroke. Oh, we always think it can't happen to us. Might happen to someone else, but not to us. Friend, that is the deception of the devil. The Lord says, "Now is the accepted time, 20 after 7. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." The Lord promises to save you now. He doesn't promise to save you tomorrow. Beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. One other example of a last chance with a farmer. God in his kindness had blessed his fields with rich productivity. He looked at the old barns and says, "They can't hold this produce, I'll build new barns." I'll say to my soul, there was much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. God says, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, the calamity, lest he take thee away with a stroke. The certainty, the caution, the calamity, but notice the climax. Then a great ransom cannot deliver death. Once you cross the line of time into eternity, there's no turning back. Zephaniah says, neither their silver nor their gold will be able to redeem them in the day of judgment. So friends, this might be your last chance. Give it serious thought tonight. And we looked at the epistle by Paul to the Corinthians. This thrills my soul. The last trump. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Paul was the custodian of some 13 or 14 mysteries, and this was no longer a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. The Roman army were conscious of three calls by the bugle. The first sound of the trumpet, they were awakened out of sleep. The second sound of the trumpet,